think it's the kids. So frustrating.
Leaders, we're so grateful for their commitment to serving people faithfully. I ask you to bless all the youth leaders here with wisdom and discernment as they lead junior high. And for our nation and world leaders, Father, we ask that you'll give them humility and courage and a genuine desire to serve the people. Father, we also ask that regardless of their faith, that you'll give them godly characteristics, grant them with wisdom to navigate complex issues, and to be compassionate and caring. Help them to recognize the value of each life they serve and inspire them to make decisions that reflect your perfect plan of salvation. We pray these things knowing you are a good God who listens to our prayers. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, come grab a seat, guys. We're going to get ready for our Bible reading. So if you're a Bible reader, get ready.
She's a bit sore. You're coming up now. Okay, you're coming up now.
Do you want the mic?
Get up, Bible reading something.
She's fixing up hats.
Hold on.
Is it on?
All
right.
No.
Can everyone just, while we're finding our seats, everyone grab out your Bibles and flick open to Exodus 24. I want to see more Bible flicking. Exodus 24, guys. Alrighty. Lovely ladies, can you tell me your full name, school, and what year you're in?
Emily Waterford, and I'm in year six, and I go to Covenant.
I'm Liam Miller, and I go to Barker College.
Yeah!
And I'm in year six.
Yeah, Liam.
All right. Can you both actually tell me, what is your favorite thing about Jesus?
My favorite thing about Jesus is that he's always with us and that he's always in control.
I love Jesus because he is always there for us and he loves us always.
Awesome. Thanks so much. I'll let you guys read. Can you let us know what we're reading from so everyone knows?
We're reading from Exodus 24, the whole chapter. The Lord said to Moses, "You and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and so many of the elders of Israel must come to worship the Lord. Do not come close when you worship me. Only Moses can come close to me. The others must not come near. The people may not go up with him." Moses went up and told the people all the Lord's words and laws. They answered with one voice. They said, "We will do everything the Lord told us to do." Then Moses wrote down everything the Lord had said. Moses got up early the next morning. He built an altar at the foot of the mountain. He set up 12 stone pillars. They stood for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men to sacrifice burnt offerings. They also sacrificed young bulls as friendship offerings to the Lord. Moses put half the blood in bowls. He splashed the other half against the altar. He took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They answered, "We will do everything the Lord has told us to do. We will obey them." Then Moses took out the blood and sprinkled it on the people. He said, "This is the blood that puts the covenant into effect. The Lord has made the covenant for you to keep with all these words."
Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up. They saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a street made out of lapis lazuli. It was as bright blue as the sky itself. But God didn't destroy those Israelite leaders when they saw him. They ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain. Stay here. I will give you the stone tablets. They contain the law and commandments I have written to teach the people." Then Moses and Joshua, his helper, started out. Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait for us here until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you. Anyone who has a problem can go to them." Moses went up on the mountain. Then the cloud covered it. The glory of the Lord settled on the Mount Sinai. There, the cloud covered the mountain for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Lord called out to Moses from inside the cloud. The people of Israel saw the glory of the Lord. It looked like a fire burning on top of the mountain. Moses entered the cloud as he went up onto the mountain. He stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay, hi guys, my name is Em, and I lead some of the Sensational Year 8 Girls, and I'll be doing the talk for us today. So to start, I want to ask you, who is someone who you think is really great? It might be your favourite player in your favourite sports team, it might be your favourite celebrity, it might even be the King of England. Whoever it is, there are people who we look at in awe. We can be amazed at who they are, their achievements, their talents, and we can be struck by their glory. For me, Taylor Swift is someone who I am constantly amazed by. Her ability to release so many great albums is extraordinary. However, as much as I love Taylor Swift, she does not know me. She has no idea who I am. The relationship is entirely one way. I think often, the people who we think are really great, who we admire, they don't know us. There's no relationship between us and them. But today we're going to be looking at someone who is truly glorious, who is worthy of our awe, and who, despite being so magnificent, reaches out to us to have a relationship with him. And so as we start, please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for your word. I pray that you'll be speaking through me so that we can learn more about who you are. I pray that you'll be able to help us listen and focus well. Amen. Okay, so this term we've been looking at the book of Exodus. We've seen how roughly 4,000 years ago, the Israelites were stuck in slavery in Egypt. And like you can see through the trading cards, we saw how Moses was born, how God revealed himself to Moses through the burning bush, how God sent plagues down on the Egyptians, how he saved his people through the Passover lamb, how he split the Red Sea in half for the Israelites to walk through, how God provided food for his people, and how he's given his people a way to live as saved. And so we get to Exodus 24. This passage is a bit of a strange one. Blood gets sprinkled onto people, God's feet are compared to a bright blue jewel, and there's a mountain that's just on fire. But one of the cool things this passage reveals to us is the extraordinary, jaw-dropping holiness of God. Now, the word holy is used to describe God over 50 times in the Bible, but I think it's important for us to get a good understanding of what this word means. To be holy simply means to be set apart. And so when God is described as holy, he is set apart from everything that is not God. He is uniquely God. Nothing and no one else is like him. And as we look at what this passage has to say about the holiness of God, we are looking at how God is different to us. And so read with me from verse 16 and 17. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. The cloud covered the mountain for 6 days. And on the seventh day, the Lord called out to Moses from inside the cloud. The people of Israel saw the glory of the Lord. It looked like a fire burning on the mountain. So here are the Israelites. They're in the middle of a desert, next to a big mountain. And then all of a sudden, the mountain becomes covered with a cloud. The top becomes engulfed with fire and smoke rises from the top. 2 chapters earlier, the mountain, as it's on fire, is described as trembling and shaking. And all of this is happening because the glory of the Lord has settled on the mountain. Can you imagine just how terrified the Israelites would have been? He is the God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, who sent plague after plague on the Egyptians, who parted the Red Sea, sent them bread from the sky, settling on this mountain, displaying his glory, his power, and his holiness. It's no wonder he commands Moses and the elders of Israel to come and worship him. Have a look from verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "You and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel must come to worship the Lord. Do not come close when you worship. Only Moses can come close to me. The others must not come near, and the people may not go up with him." Now, God's not lacking in humility as he commands Moses and the elders to come and worship him. No, he commands them to come and worship him because he's deserving of their praise. He is so holy that even the mountains tremble at his presence. He is holy, and he alone is worthy of all honour and all praise. And I wonder, when you think of God, do you have this picture of him? Do you recognise God as the powerful, glorious, holy God that he is? Or do you downplay his holiness, treating God as a go-to person when you need him and just someone who kind of turns a blind eye to your sin? Our God, the God of the Bible, is a holy God who is worthy of all honour and all praise. And remembering to acknowledge his holiness should radically transform your words, your thoughts, and your actions. Now we saw in verse 1 and 2 that God invites Moses and the elders to come and worship him. But he warns them not to come too close when they worship. The elders of Israel must praise God from a distance because of their unholiness. God is so holy that he cannot be in the presence of his unholy people. The Israelites had grumbled against God time and time again. They were sinful by nature and could not draw near to God because of their unholiness. The Bible says that we too are unholy. Just like the Israelites, we are sinful by nature. Romans 3:23 says, everyone has sinned. No one measures up to God's glory. God is holy and he is glorious, but because of our sin, we are not. Our sin acts as a barrier between us and God. How can a holy God have a relationship with his unholy people? Our sin has serious consequences. We cannot have a relationship with the God who created us. I think sometimes it can be easy for us to forget the seriousness of our sin. I know that when I was in junior high, I did not take my sin seriously. I'd grown up going to Sunday school, so I knew that I was sinful, but when I compared myself to others, I thought to myself, well, you're not nearly as sinful as them. I thought I was far holier than I was, and a lot of the people around me, because of their sin, not on my own. I think maybe you've also compared yourself to others and thought that too. But our holiness is not determined by those around us. Our holiness is determined by the one who is truly holy. And in my arrogance, I thought I was far holier than I was. And in doing so, I downplayed the holiness of God. Don't let your arrogance get in the way of seeing just how holy God is, because we are all sinful and no one measures up to his glory. On the other hand, maybe you do feel the weight of your sin. Maybe it's really easy for you to see the seriousness and the consequences of your sin and how there are so many ways each day that we fall short of the glory of God. And if so, don't despair. God has a solution. And so we're in this bit of a dilemma. God is holy and the Israelites are unholy and there cannot be a relationship between the two. But the holy God is also a God who cares and loves his people. Despite the unholiness of the Israelites, God wants to have a relationship with his people, so he makes a covenant with them. The covenant is God's solution. It's a promise made between the holy God and his unholy people. As we heard last week, God had given the Israelites a way to live as his people. And in verse 3, we see the Israelites agree to do everything the Lord had told them to do. They agree to the terms of the covenant. And so to seal this covenant, a ceremony takes place. Moses sets up an altar at the foot of the mountain. And then read with me from verse 5. Then he sent young Israelite men to sacrifice burnt offerings. They also sacrificed young bulls as friendship offerings to the Lord. Moses put half of the blood in bowls. He slashed the other half against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They answered, "We will do everything the Lord has told us to do. We will obey him." And so to seal the covenant, this ceremony takes place where a sacrifice must be made and the Israelites agree to do everything the Lord has told them to do. But the two weirdest parts of this ceremony is still yet to take place. Have a look from verse 8. Then Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. He said, "This is the blood that puts the covenant into effect. The Lord has made this covenant with you in keeping with all these words." So the first weird thing to seal the covenant is this blood that is being sprinkled on the Israelite elders. And if you're like me, you might be wondering, why on earth does the blood have to be sprinkled on the Israelites? Why couldn't it have stayed far away at the altar? Well, the only other time the blood is sprinkled in the Bible is a few chapters later in Exodus 29, verse 21, where the sprinkling of blood is used to sanctify priests. And so this weird blood sprinkling thing that Moses does is to reinforce the identity of Israel as a priestly kingdom, God's chosen people. The second weird thing to seal the covenant is a meal, but it's not your average meal. Have a look from verse 9. Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel went up. They saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a streak made out of lapis lazuli. It was as bright blue as the sky itself. But God didn't destroy those Israelites' leaders when they saw him. They ate and drank. So here we see the Israelites' elders ignoring God's command to not go too far up the mountain. But then we see God's kindness as he lets them have a meal with him. The Israelite elders have a meal with God, and they get to see just how holy and glorious he is, that even the underneath his feet look like a sparkling blue jewel. And so the covenant is sealed. Firstly, by the Israelites agreeing to do everything that God had commanded them. Secondly, the covenant is sealed by sacrificial blood. And thirdly, the covenant is sealed with a meal. And so through the covenant, the holy God can now have a relationship with his unholy people. The problem is solved. But the rest of the Old Testament tells us of how the Israelites break the covenant time and time and time again. The Israelites ignore the way God has told them to live, damaging their relationship with the holy God. How can a holy God have a relationship with his unholy people? But God always has a solution. And in his great kindness, the holy God doesn't leave the Israelites without hope. Sometime later, God promises to make a new covenant with his people. The prophet Jeremiah records God's promise. Have a look at Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, which should be on the screen. It says, "The days are coming, announces the Lord. I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel. I will also make it with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with the people of long ago. That was when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. But they broke my covenant. They did it even though I was like a husband to them, announces the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with Israel after that time, announces the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will not need to teach their neighbor anymore, and they will not need to teach one another anymore. They will not need to say, 'Know the Lord.' That's because everyone will know me. From the least important of them to the most important of them, all will know me, announces the Lord. I will forgive their evil ways. I will remember their sins no more." So God promises to restore the relationship with his people so that he can be their God through the new covenant. Now, hundreds and hundreds of years after this Exodus, Jesus is celebrating the Passover festival by having a meal with his friends. And he has this conversation, which is recorded in Luke, which is pretty spectacular. It says, Luke 22, verse 20, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. He said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It is poured out for you.' In the same way that the old covenant was sealed by blood and a meal with God, the new covenant is also sealed by blood and a meal with God. However, this time, the blood of the bull is not sprinkled on the people, and the meal is not on a mountain but around a table with Jesus himself. The new covenant is sealed with the blood of Jesus poured out for us on the cross. The same God who is so glorious that mountains tremble in his presence is crucified in our place so that we may be seen as pure and blameless, so that we can have a relationship with the holy God." Earlier we read Romans 3:23. "Everyone has sinned, no one measures up to God's glory." But the chapter doesn't end there. Romans 3:24 goes on to say, "The free gift of God's grace makes us free, makes us right with him. Jesus Christ paid the price to set us free." And so as incredible as I think Taylor Swift is, she has no idea who I am. She's never reached out, she does not know me. But the God who is truly glorious, who is truly holy, reaches out to me and to you. Despite our unholiness, he sent his son Jesus to make a new covenant so that we can have a relationship with him. Jesus' blood sealed the new covenant, and he invites us into relationship with him. And so I ask, what does your relationship with the holy God look like? Have you entered into the new covenant putting your trust in Jesus, the only one who is truly holy? And if so, do the words you speak, the thoughts of your mind, and the actions you take demonstrate to others your understanding of God's command to be holy because he is holy? I'm going to pray to close. God, you alone are holy, worthy of all honor and all glory and all praise. Thank you that despite our unholiness, you have reached out to us through the new covenant, so that we may have a relationship with you. Help our thoughts, our words, and our actions always bring glory to you. Amen. Amen.
Okay, thanks for that message, Amber.
I think it's really cool how, I think it's really awesome how we can approach God because of Jesus, who is God. And it just shows that, you know, God is the Father that we really truly need. And we are going to sing that one. So please stand with me.
Thank you.
Solidify. You can tell me what solidify. Can someone tell me what solidify?
Singapore.